Everybody Can is a conversation about the people and organizations that strengthen our community by volunteering, donating, and serving on boards, and sometimes just showing up. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, tenaciously curious and committed to the notion that connecting and serving others provides a space for one to have a sense of purpose and belonging. You know, our state parks, our Washington state parks, are committed to protecting our most treasured lands, providing memorable experiences, and connecting people with the diverse natural and cultural heritage of our state. With nearly 40 million people visiting Washington's 124 state parks, volunteers play a vital role in sustaining those parks. And I think it's nearly a quarter of a million hours of service each year. One opportunity is camp hosting, a tremendously popular volunteer opportunity in the state park system. And today, we are so pleased to be speaking to the volunteer program manager for the Washington State Park system, Valerie Roberts. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Missy. I'm excited to be here.
So I'd love to know a little bit about your role in general. And let's just visit with our listeners about state parks in general. Talk about the Washington State Park system in terms of its comparison to, say, our other states, and perhaps a little bit about the nuances of some of those parks.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me here. Washington State Parks is such an amazing place to work for. I'm really lucky to be here as the volunteer program manager. Like you said, you did a great job summing up the state parks and what amazing resources we have and how we love to share them with people. Our mission is to share and care for some of Washington State's most treasured lands, waters, and historic places and connect people to those places. We have over 120,000 total acres across all of our parks. Our biggest park is Mount Spokane at over 12,000 acres, and we have our smallest park clocking in at 0.0023 acres at Ronald McDonald's gravesite. So we have a wide diverse range of parks. We have historic sites, lakes, rivers, so many different things to enjoy. We even have a park named after our state gem, the Ginkgo Petrified Forest, where over 200 species of petrified wood have been discovered. It's amazing. There's something for everyone, and it's just a wonderful place to work. State parks officially opened in 1914, which makes it one of the oldest state parks in the U.S.
I read somewhere that I think it's even older than the national park system. Is that correct?
I think that that's true. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. It started with Larrabee State Park, which I think is pretty close to you all.
I think Larrabee is closer to Bellingham. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And tell us about that littlest state park, because I thought we held the claim to fame on that one. You said it was Ronald McDonald?
McDonald's gravesite. Yes.
What? As in the fast food Ronald McDonald, or is there another? No?
No, I don't think it's the fast food Ronald McDonald. Actually, you know, that's a good question. I need to learn a little bit more about Ronald McDonald, but he's a historical figure in Washington State. And we have his gravesite up in northeastern Washington as one of our state parks. And it is got quite a small square footage, but a high impact on the history of Washington.
Just his single cemetery. Of course, we have our forts, but then we have the one in our city that is just about two blocks at large.
Yes.
So how long have you been in this role, Valerie?
I've been here for 3 months so far, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Have you worked for the state parks in the past? What was your career path?
I have worked with the National Park Service and the Forest Service before, but my previous experience actually comes from the museum world, where I've worked in museums in Seattle, and then before that, Oregon and New Mexico.
That's a really interesting segue to what we are going to be talking about, specifically to camp hosting. And I know that there's opportunities to use those museum skills that you have, but today we're focusing on camp hosting. And I'm curious, you know, we're talking about a transition year. We've had your predecessor on our program in the past, and it was really hyper-focused on the limitations of pandemic and just our shutdowns. Tell me a little bit about what this year looks like in terms of, are you really up and running 100%, or do we have some carryover of some restrictions that our listeners might want to be aware of?
For camp hosting, we have a lot of opening up happening in this year as opposed to past years with the pandemic. We have almost all of our host sites open now, and all of our parks are open and operating, and we have an unprecedented number of visitors coming every year. I think everyone has realized over the last few years how important it is to get outside and enjoy our natural resources and have a good time outdoors. There are a couple of things that have carried over from the pandemic regarding hosting. We are currently still requiring all of our camp hosts to be fully vaccinated against the COVID-19 pandemic in order to keep our visitors safe and as well as our staff members. And we still have a couple of verification processes in place when it comes to becoming camp host. But in regards to what you're doing at hosting or how many hosting opportunities there are, it's like it was before the pandemic. We have a lot of parks open and we have all of our hosting opportunities up and running. And we're looking for hosts to help us with our mission and help connect people to parks.
And that is what we are going to drill down into today. I think that's going to be really great to focus on. It's probably the most commonly known volunteer opportunity, isn't it?
It is. It's our most popular volunteer opportunity, and it is such an important part of how parks operate, and it's essential to how we can help people have the best time in parks. Park hosts are an essential part of our team.
An essential part in the sense that about 250,000 hours, service hours, that is incredible. And the percentage of staff that you have, you really do rely on those volunteers. That must have been really tough during the closures.
Oh, yes, we definitely felt it. We rely so much on volunteers. We have so many amazing people committed to our mission and to helping us get so many things done. We have camp hosts that help us, you know, greet visitors and welcome people into parks and help make sure that the campsites stay clean. But we also have park hosts that help us with trail maintenance and picking up garbage or helping repair picnic benches. There's so many other parts to park hosts that they help us maintain our parks and definitely keep them going. In addition to other hosts helping people connect to the historic sites that we have and share the knowledge that they have of the wonderful history of Washington State. There was so many things that we weren't able to offer during the pandemic that we're really happy to have our hosts back on board.
You have some pent-up demand. Will, if you're just joining us, this is Missy Nielsen of Everybody Can, and I'm speaking with Valerie Roberts, the Washington State Parks Volunteer Manager, and we are focused on camp hosting today. I'm super excited about this discussion. So if we think about a camp host, you know, I'm thinking about what are some of the things that frequently asked question. Let's start maybe with requirements of being a camp host.
Yeah, there are some requirements to being a camp host. It is our most popular volunteer program, but it also is one of the volunteer opportunities that takes the most time commitment. So we do ask that our park host commit to 30 days of camping at the park and being available to do the host work. And then we ask for 28 hours of volunteer service per week. That normally looks like about 5 days a week of 5 to 6 hours of service a day, and then 2 days off. So it is a time commitment. In addition to that, hosts need to be 18 years or older. And we are currently requiring that they are fully vaccinated against COVID-19.
And that would be the boosters and all of the above, or just documentation for that. So you have day use park. Are there camp hosts for day use parks? I was curious about that component.
Yeah, we do have a few day use parks that have camp host opportunities. We have a lot of different things that camp hosts can do. You know, we have our traditional hosting opportunity where you bring your RV in and you stay at a host campsite for 30 days, and you are the welcoming face for campers. You help keep the campsite clean, and you help sell firewood, and you do all of those things. It's very traditional. But in addition to that, we have a lot of other opportunities for hosts that have other requirements depending on the park and their needs. So we have day use parks where you're really there during the day to help people come in and be welcomed. Some of those parks will have retreat centers that are reserved by visitors. And so you help set up the retreat center, get people checked in, help staff kind of get that all organized. We also have unique host opportunities where you can work in interpretive centers or retreat centers. So that'll be doing education programs or maybe leading a naturalist tour or helping work at the gift shop. So there's a whole bunch of different things. We even have marine host opportunities where if you have a boat and let's say you want to go to Blake Island or another marine park, you can park your boat at the marine park for 2 weeks or longer and help welcome boaters into our dock.
Let's stay with the traditional camp host. So the day use camp, would that camp host be sleeping there overnight or would they be going back and forth? Would they be one of the few people to spend the night and stay there for the duration like the other camp hosts do?
They would be one of the people to stay there overnight.
Valerie, if you wouldn't mind, let's do a day in the life of a camp host. They get up and what happens?
Yeah, that's a great question. Let's say that it's a Saturday. It's going to be one of the busier days because we have campers coming in. You might wake up and help people kind of check out and get ready to go if they're leaving for that day, or you'll walk around the campsites and help make sure that they are all set up and that the reservation tags are set the right way and that the campfires are all cleaned out and that there's no trash anywhere. And then you kind of set up your day to get ready to welcome the guests. You can welcome your campers in, help make sure that they know where their resources are. If they need firewood, you can sell them some firewood and then be available. And maybe you'll work with a park ranger on a couple of activities that you two have talked about that the park really needs help with. A lot of our parks have kind of very specific things. We have such a diverse range of resources that each park has its own kind of needs for volunteer service, but also we have a lot of park rangers that really like to work with the volunteers to find out what their interests are or what their skill sets are. And so you might work on a project with some park staff. I know that we have some people who have helped repair picnic benches or they spend some extra time clearing trails. We have a lot of trails that are ADA accessible, but if a small branch falls in the way, all of a sudden that becomes a little bit more limiting. So we really rely on our hosts to help us with projects like that, or identifying invasive weeds and pulling them out. And then let's say that in the afternoon, you are available for a chunk of hours as people start to get settled into their campsites, just in case they need anything. And then you can clock out. And I would say after you're done with your volunteer service for the day, I'm going to assume if it was me, I would go for a hike. Or maybe if I'm at the beach, I'm going to go to the beach and comb through the sand and try and find some pretty rocks. There's so many things that you can do. You just get to enjoy the park that you've chosen to live in for 30 days or longer.
Well, you know, there's always a couple of questions that come to my mind like, oh my goodness. So what about groceries or Wi-Fi? Or I brought my RV. How do I get out and about? So you mentioned that unique parks have unique needs. And I thought that was really something when we talked earlier about the idea that calling the parks directly to get a sense of what the needs are always encouraged, which surprised me because I always think of the website as the only place that one would begin that journey of finding out how to volunteer.
Yeah, that's a great point. I actually really love this about state parks, but it is a really good idea to call the park you're interested in and talk to the staff that are there.
And they like that. They don't mind it, do they?
They don't mind it at all. No, they love it because that, I think that one thing that we really care about is finding the right volunteer opportunity at the right park for the right person, because we have so many different parks with so many wonderful assets, but they're very different. So you can find your favorite park and give them a call. If you're not sure where to start, though, I would recommend starting with our website. And the reason why is because we do have a list of volunteer opportunities or host opportunities by park. And then you can kind of get a sense of what parks are available at the time you might be available or in the area that you want to go explore more. If you're thinking about jumping over to the east side, that's great. And then you can start there, find a couple parks, and then there's the contact information for the park on those opportunity lists. So that's an easy way to get started.
Well, before we wrap this discussion up, let's get that website out to our listeners and a phone number, if that's an option too, for folks to just do their preliminary sleuthing about on what's out there.
Yes. So if you would like to visit our website, go to parks.wa.gov and you can click on the volunteer button on the main page. You can also email or call the volunteer program and we're happy to talk to you about our opportunities. Phone number is 360-902-8583. And our email is parks.volunteer@parks.wa.gov.
Valerie Roberts, I'm so glad you could join us today. I still have some burning questions. Maybe we can pick up on another episode. But I noticed there's a diverse range of volunteer opportunities beyond what we focused on, camp hosting. Love to have you back to share more of those opportunities. Can we get you back for another discussion?
Absolutely. I'd love to come back. And until then, I highly encourage people to check out our website for all of our volunteer opportunities at parks.wa.gov.
Thank you again, Valerie, for joining us. This is Missy Nielsen, and you've been listening to Everybody Can on KPTZ 91.9, and I thank you for joining us today. I couldn't do this program without the masterful assistance of our production coordinator and sound engineer, Nora Petrich. It is my hope that today's program uplifted and encouraged you to find your path to belonging, because everybody can. Now go out, get involved, and make it a great day for someone else.